This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. You see the photos and the videos of Syrians risking their lives to escape the carnage in their homeland, and it goes right to your heart. Detroit-based entrepreneur Razi Jafri saw those photos, heard the stories, saw the videos, and he knew he had to help. Razi is just back now from spending 9 days helping refugees on the Greek island of Lesbos. Welcome. Good to have you with us, Razi.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
There is an awfully big difference between watching the news, seeing the photos, seeing the videos, those heartbreaking stories, and deciding, I'm getting on a plane, I'm going to be there to help. What made you take that step?
I was definitely inspired and motivated by a lot of the imagery that I had been seeing and reading about the crisis, about the civil war in Syria. And an opportunity appeared to me through a friend of mine who was a Detroit-based dentist. He asked me if I would be interested in joining him on a medical mission to Greece to help the refugees that are coming in from Syria via Turkey and crossing the Aegean into Greece. I told him there were two problems. One, I don't have a medical background. And number two, I don't have the funds to get there. And so he told me that the NGO, which is a Denver-based NGO called International Medical Relief, didn't require one to have a medical background, and also that I could crowdfund for the trip. And so I decided to use a local Detroit-based startup, which was started by two friends of mine, Haris Ahmed and Chris Blavelt, called LaunchGood, to raise the money for the trip.
Tell us about how much you needed to raise.
I needed to raise about $3,900 for the trip.
And LaunchGood, it's a crowdfunding platform for Muslim projects?
For Muslim projects. It's based in Detroit. And Chris and Haris also run another local crowdfunding platform called Patronicity.
Tell me about how quickly the money was raised.
It was raised in about 7 or 8 days. Yeah, from the time that I started the campaign, I was able to raise the money very quickly. I'm very grateful to my friends and family that supported me in this project. I wouldn't have been able to go out there if it wasn't for that. Some of my local friends, Syrian and non-Syrian, Muslim and non-Muslim, were very supportive, very generous with their resources in helping me get there.
What were you going to do? As you say, I'm not a medical guy, I'm not a dentist, but what was it you were able to
do? So my expectation was that I would go there, I would assist the physicians, I would help people get off boats, provide any type of clothing, food, you know, that would be needed. I also offered to cook meals for the volunteers and for the refugees.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever I could do. Yeah. I was excited and eager to go and to help. When I got there, I realized the situation was different in many ways than I had expected. For one, the refugees were not only from Syria. They were from places like Afghanistan and Pakistan. There were many, many people from Iraq. There were a lot of Kurds in Lesbos as well, from Turkey, Syria, and Iraq. I met people from Algeria, from Morocco. I met one individual as far away as from Ghana. People are really coming from all different kinds of places.
So that was a surprise. Were
that
you able to
surprise,
help
yeah.
as an interpreter? Or
I did. You know, I felt very useful, especially for the refugees from Pakistan and Afghanistan. I speak Urdu and a little bit of Farsi as well. I was able to pick up quite a bit while I was there, even organized a class for basic Farsi phrases because of the immense amount of refugees from Afghanistan, which was not expected for me. But there are a lot of refugees coming from Afghanistan and Pakistan as well.
You heard a lot of stories. I know that you were especially touched by a conversation that you had with a man from Syria. And you mentioned he spoke beautiful English.
Yeah, there are so many amazing stories that I experienced on this trip, and so many where people expressed their gratitude, you know, to the volunteers and to the people of Greece. So this one particular incident, I was speaking to a young man from Syria who had traveled for many, many days, much of it on foot, and he got to Turkey, then crossed over the Aegean by raft or by boat, basically inflatable boat, and made it to Lesbos. And we were just talking. He was telling me a little bit about his life. And he kept looking over at this table where there was food prepared. And in the middle of the conversation, he stopped me and asked, how much is that food? Is that for free? Is that for us to have? And I was just floored. I said, of course. You know, we made this for you guys. You're welcome to have anything you want. You know, there's tea, there's soup, there's sandwiches. And, you know, and then he just expressed this overwhelming sensation of feeling like he and the other refugees are a burden on the volunteers and on the Greek people and on Europe as well, and just express this desire to not want to be a burden, and that, you know, also wanting me to know that he's not here out of choice. You know, he's here because he fled a major conflict, and it was an existential threat that he fled from.
How has this experience affected you personally and also your understanding of the migrant crisis?
Oh, my gosh. It's changed me in so many ways and in so many ways that I have yet to even understand. I would say that, you know, I'm lucky enough to have traveled a lot in my life, and I would say that this has been the most meaningful experience that I've had in traveling. And I've been touched and moved by so many of the people that I've met, not only the refugees, but the volunteers that have come from all over the world, but also the Greek people. I've been moved by their compassion and their resilience. It's definitely made me think a lot about gratitude and how much we have and the abundance that we have here, and to be grateful for all of the things that we have. That's probably the main thing, I would say, because these people are sometimes coming with just whatever they have on their backs. You know, we met people that didn't have shoes. We met people that had very little clothing, and they were grateful for whatever you can give them.
What do you most want all of us who have not been there to see the flood of refugees coming to Lesbos? What do you want people to understand about who these refugees are?
You know, there's a couple of things. One, I would say that these people are human beings, you know, first and foremost. You know, often the conversation in the United States and in much of Europe is filled with a lot of suspicion and vitriol against immigrants and against refugees. These people are human beings, you know, first and foremost. And then number two, many, if not all of them, are leaving their countries not out of choice. They're leaving their countries because they're facing an existential threat to themselves, to their families, to their livelihood. Many of these people are highly educated, highly trained. They're craftsmen, they're attorneys, they're educators, professors, physicians, and they can add a lot to our society. They can contribute, and they're ready to contribute. You know, these people are not just coming here to live off the social welfare programs. They're really looking to start a new life. They're looking to continue their education, to continue their careers, and to contribute to society. So I think those are the two main things I would like for people to know, is that they're human beings and that they have something to add, and that they're not leaving out of choice.
Detroit-based entrepreneur Razi Jaffrey, who's just back from 9 days helping refugees who'd fled to the Greek Isle of Lesbos. He's shared some photos of his time on the island, and you can find them by going to the stateside page at michiganradio.org. Razi, thanks so much for sharing with us.
Thank you for having me.